Thank you again to everyone that's read, that's helped us open the meeting. I take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started, and a huge welcome to any newcomers to NA that are with us tonight, and a welcome to any visitors that are just coming to join us for the first time. We're glad that you're here and hope you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. Like I said, we are a speaker meeting, and tonight it falls on me to introduce our speaker. He's an old friend of Higna. He's come back with us tonight to share his experience, strength, and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes. I love this man. He has a recovery like no other that I know of. He's a great guy, and he celebrated a fairly major milestone of recovery this summer. He kind of kept quiet with it. I'll leave it to him to share that if he chooses. And with that, it's over to you, Aid. Please share your experience, strength, and hope with us, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve.
Thanks very much, Steve. I'm an addict. My name's Aidy.
Aidy.
Hi,
Aidy.
Hello, everyone. It's only here I get a ravenous welcome. And thank you for asking me, Stephen. And thank you, everyone. Every time I do the Higna meetings, you know, I'm like a happy child in a such a, it's not any other online meeting. I get welcomes like that, and a nice intro. I shared at the Gold Coast in Florida a few months ago, and I don't often have intros, and like, it just made me cry. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it just, it warms my heart. And you know, Narcotics Anonymous is my home, and definitely like Higna, you know, was the first online kind of meeting I done. So it's got a, you know, that and NA at home, you know, just it saved this addict's life. And I think it was in April 2015. I think it was the first illness and recovery one on a Thursday night, and I just had major surgery, and you know, I can't even tell you how I ended up there. I think I just needed a meeting, and somehow I kind of found that meeting, and you know, I found it, what I needed that meeting. It kind of opened my mind even more around the principle of open-mindedness. You know, I can think I've got a really open mind, but you know, in lots of different experiences, my mind can still be like very narrow, you know, very arrogant. And you know, till I experience things, you know, and practice the first three principles, and generally, you know, things kind of start to change. So it's lovely to be back here. And yeah, I mean, I've not shared like any clean time birthdays for a long time. I've never been out for a meal, never had a cake, never had a card, never had a medallion. It's just, you know, the early years, you know, I celebrated like, you know, I won the lottery. You know, each day was like a celebration to me. And, you know, I kind of share some of that journey getting to those sort of celebrations. But, you know, I remember just, you know, yeah, just couldn't get clean. You know, my story is, you just couldn't get clean. It's just, you know, there's so much in certain meetings that have been real kind of big reminders. I've never shared like war stories unless it's in H&I, and you know, prompted a lot around childhood and stuff like that, you know, prior coming in into any kind of chemicals and stuff. And you know, many thoughts before. And when I've got to NA, you know, am I born an addict? You know, it was my dad an alcoholic, not my dad's an alcoholic, but you know, all these kind of things. You know, I think I was just predispositioned. You know, that's the only way I can see, you know, as I kind of reflected and worked through and wrote, you know, lots of stuff around step work and in growing up, and a lot of stuff in my step four, in seeing truth. In stuff that, you know, I spent my whole life getting into this pattern of fear and resentment and blaming, you know, and just detaching and distrusting kind of world and people and society and, you know, everything. It's just, you know, what the values that I'd built in early childhood, you know, slowly kind of crumbled, and, you know, for now that, you know, they're kind of known as defects, and I kind of lived in this dark, defected kind of person. But, you know, as myself and most addicts, we're like chameleons, do you know what I mean? We just kind of fit in to where we need to fit in, and we've got these transferable skills that, you know, we can perform and act where we need to. And most of my childhood, you know, predisposition just to fuck up, you know, as simple as that, do you know what I mean? My learning, my behavior was just, it wasn't off the wall, it was just pure attention seeking. It was like, you know, it was like a kid at home just jumping, trying to get parents' attention. And that was, you know, I'd done so many stupid things kind of growing up just to kind of get attention from my parents and from school and friends and from girls. And, you know, it was just, I just ended up in this just stupid kid at school, just disruptive, the class clown. And then, you know, the kind of the journey for me is just like just disinterested in school and just started on that criminal path. And, you know, the beginning of my wheeling and dealing. And, you know, I spent about 3 years just buying stuff and then selling it and then buying and then stealing. And you know, I just kind of learned that I could turn pennies into pounds. And if it was cigarettes, cream cakes, toys, you know, darts, booze, whatever, I could kind of sell it. And it soon sort of kind of festered into kind of, I never really shared it. And it was one of the first meetings I ever went to, Narcotics Anonymous. Like this guy shared everything the same, apart from crime. You know, he was a burglar and I was a dealer. And but he talked about like gambling, and it's something that I've, you know, it was the beginning path for me. You know, fruit machines was like the beginning path. You know, I'd make all this money and then just go and gamble it all. And then, you know, it was just another symptom of this disease, you know, this beginning of this preposition journey of like ending up on drugs and stuff. And, you know, my crime, the money, it's just this hamster wheel of going around, wake up, you know, go meet people before school, sign in, bunk off, do what I needed to do, meet people at lunchtime, blah blah blah, and then go home like nothing, you know, this chameleon, nothing happened. Yeah, great day at school, mum, blah blah blah, you know. And then gradually, you know, letters are getting sent home from school, and, you know, I'm trying to capture these letters before I went to school, and then getting arrested, and then the phone calls to my mum when I'm at the police station, and you know, not that I knew at the time, the guilt and shame I think I was about 12 the first time I got arrested. I got arrested in Woolworths. My mum had given me money to buy a school tie, you know, and I just went and gambled it, and then went and stole the tie, got caught. And the fear of my mum coming to the police, it wasn't even about getting, I mean, I was scared getting caught and stuff. And, you know, that is kind of, you know, the journey into kind of booze and kind of just, you know, I was just stuck in this cycle long before, you know, it kind of rendered into sort of like, you know, the powerless is probably what I'd kind of write in my step one. You know, there was, you know, I was powerless. Do you know what I mean? My disease had taken control, and I didn't have sort of days off and this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was just, you know, I kind of look back and just, you know, it wasn't sort of like, you know, at 16 start smoking pot and blah, you know, I was like long gone, like well before this kind of stuff. And this also sort of the beginning of taking chemicals and stuff like that. I was long gone, you know. When I sold drugs, I just took drugs. Do you know what I mean? When I smoked pot, I didn't smoke tobacco. Do you know what I mean? I just smoked pot. And, you know, when I've gone through this stuff in my step one, I was powerless. Do you know what I mean? I was absolutely powerless. I couldn't go, you know, an hour without, you know, a hot knife, without a bucket, without, you know, a spliff or something like that. And, you know, this is something I forget, you know, this disease just, you know, I forget, you know, I can see the times when on heroin and other drugs and stuff, but like the progression through all this kind of stuff is, you know, I was long gone, you know. And the confusing part of this disease for me is, when I kind of looked at other people, I was different. you know, people could have breaks, you know what I mean? They, you know, I've used with people that could use like me out of the weekend and then go back to work Monday and stuff. And this stuff was kept me out there. You know, these are one of the kind of reservations I kind of had and the denial I had around this disease that sort of kept me out there because I was so different. You know what I mean? I was running, living this fast lane life, you know, really enjoying partying and stuff and looking at other at people and you know, they were just, they weren't like me. And I always remember this situation with this guy that, you know, I grew up with and we'd done all the parties. We traveled, we made loads of money. We'd done loads of raves and stuff like that. And I mean, we were dangerous with each other. And I won't share the kind of examples of using, but we always kind of, you know, if somebody used something, I would use more. And we just were in competition the whole time. You know, I shudder in thinking some of the drugs we used and how much that none of us kind of died. It was just like, you know, I'm, you know, the fear I felt sometimes was I was just thinking, please, please, mate, don't take any more. Do you know what I mean? I don't want any more. I'm going to die, mate. Do you know what I mean? I'm melting down the wall at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, things like stand out for me is, you know, I'd go and see him down in Bournemouth and, we'd do other kind of drugs, but I'd pull out like, you know, half ounce of heroin and start smoking it and stuff. And he'd have one line going, no, I don't want any more, mate. And these are the things that kind of confused me around thinking that I was an addict and had a drug problem and stuff like that, because, you know, it's just, I couldn't see what other people could see and stuff like that. And, you know, the only problems for me for a long time really was kind of the police and drug squad and keeping my head kind of low and not in papers and in courts, which was, there was a hell of a lot of, you know, I brought a lot of pain and hurt and guilt and so much shame on my parents in you know, my career criminals, you know. It's just like, you know, it got to, you know, mid addiction when, you know, I was having, you know, drug squad coming through my parents' door and, you know, all sorts of stuff found in the house and stuff like that. And, you know, just trying to sort of face my parents and, you know, yeah, just so much shame and so much guilt that, you know, it's like, this is stuff that kind of I brought into NA, that kind of my mum just losing the plot and coming home and she was like headbutting the wall and she was drunk and it was just, it was absolute, mate, I just went and used, do you know what I mean? Just my powerlessness over that was just absolutely tremendous, do you know what I mean? It's just these drugs just numb everything. And, you know, somebody shared, it was my sponsor's birthday, I think a couple of weeks ago. He was 28 years clean, and I've talked to him because he's fairly local, and we've always sort of talked that, that, you know, I got busted, you know, I got busted loads of times, and you know, I end up with this pre-sentence report, and, you know, I feel quite emotional. I mean, this is before internet. I didn't live nowhere near Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and anything. Do you know what I mean? You know, I live quite rurally, and this woman, oh, I can't remember the ins and outs, but she said she'll get me into treatment. You know, you've got a drug problem, blah blah blah. You know, my only problem is like not going to jail, blah. You know, getting out of this office as quick as possible so I can use and all that stuff. So I'm going to tick all the boxes. I'm going to say yes to you and all this. And then this woman got me into this 12-step treatment center in Weston-super-Mare. And, you know, I just thought, I mean, this is my naivety. It's, you know, this is most of my life being naive. Is I thought I was this huge celebrity and I was going in and they'd be having tennis courts and jacuzzis and saunas. And, you know, I'd have breakfast in bed and telephones. You know, it's just like, what a load of cock of shit. You know, I got to this place, they wanted my medication. You know, I was told to clean ashtrays and stuff. And I'm cutting the short story is like, you know, I was on I think it was a 21-day reduction. And the day I come off, I was like, fucking hell, I'm getting out of this place. And remember ringing my mum up to come pick me up from this place, and you know, I was just telling her and the count, I'm cured, I'm okay, you know. And at that time, you know, I was still having people like selling drugs outside. So I spent most of my time in the stream center on the phone, which I think concerned them because, you know, they kind of followed me everywhere. And it was, but the point of this story is I told the counselors and everybody in there, I'm going to go to one of these Narcotics Anonymous meetings, you know, I'll prove it to you and blah, blah, blah. Which this meeting was in Shaftesbury, and, I went to this NA meeting and I listened to this woman, and this guy, my sponsor, said this woman's still clean. She lives in Scotland. And but I you know, I didn't even know what an NA meeting was. I didn't know what Experience, Strength and Hope, which I was the only person at the meeting with this woman, and she shared her experience, strength and hope. And I just thought this woman was crazy. I thought she was absolutely bonkers, mate. She just shared about, you know, her experience, which I just thought, mate, you've got problems. And my whole life, I just looked down on people and just thought, hey, you've got problems. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I cringe at it. You know, all the treatments, every, it's like, mate, I've looked at people and think, yeah, man, you got some severe consequences. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, my sort of grandiosity and my kind of ego and my denial around this disease was like, yeah. So basically, as a good addict, I just left that meeting, thought I was an heroin addict so I could go and drink, and just took loads of I was still withdrawing, so I just took a load of benzos and alcohol, and then, you know, the insanity is like the next minute I'm using heroin again. And the next 5 years, I've done 15 funded treatments. And I mean, I was in and out of these and NA like a yo-yo. I would go to an NA meeting, think these lot are boring, these are Christians. Do you know what I mean? You ain't going to hug me. And I'd use, do you know what I mean? The insanity is I'd go to a meeting and use, and, you know, bounced in and out of these places. But the great thing is the seed was planted. You know, there was a seed planted, and the thing that I was told that I can remember was to keep coming back. And for an addict like me, used like me, and where I lived and stuff, there was no way out. But, you know, everybody just, you know, robbed chemists, took loads of pharmaceutical drugs, you know, then bought drugs, and most people just end up on scripts and died. It's just like, and this was like when I was a lot younger and a lot more before my actual addiction really kind of progressed and springboarded to kind of, you know, really kind of depths of despair. Do you know what I mean? There was no help. There was one prescriber that saw you every fortnight. You just really kind of moaned, probably talked about resentments, and then he'd give you this piece of paper and he was off. So, yeah. So all this kind of journey, you know, I've tried everything, do you know what I mean? All different types of treatments and therapies and day centres and relapse events. It's just, yeah, it kind of helped for what I needed. But like when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, do you know what I mean? And it was just like the hope it gave me was just like not like anything else had given me. And I'm not downgrading anything, you know, it's my journey, and seeds were planted and the love and care was kind of given to me. But like, I wasn't at home, I wasn't in the place of the therapeutic value of somebody or members sharing in a meeting, and that kind of mind starts turning and thinks, shit, I done that, I can identify to that, I'm not alone on that. And the more this was cultivated, the more it kind of gave me hope, and it gave me the courage, because I needed like courage and faith in this journey to stay clean. And so I just in and out for like a long time. And, you know, when I was living in Bournemouth, I'd see people clean, I'd be jumping into shots, you know, the guilt and shame. But at the time, I didn't know what guilt and shame was. I just jumped in shops and like hid. You know, these people were still kind of laughing. They still had the soul in their eyes. Do you know what I mean? They were talking to each other. Their clothes were clean. They had, you know, had haircuts. They had makeup on. They had handbags. You know, I'm just dotting around the streets in smelly clothes, just, you know, looking for the next punter to sell a bit of gear so I can go and have a hit. And, you know, it led to, yeah, I won't even go into this, but I kind of got clean and come to NA, and actually it's really important in my journey that there was a definition between being clean and recovery. I think I got clean in 1997. And this is because I was on two supplying charges. So it's a normal like SP, tick all the boxes, get everything right, skip jail. And, you know, I got clean and I come to Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got busted, you know, there was a lot of events that led me to leaving Bournemouth and moving over to kind of where I live now. And I went to meetings and that's it. I stopped using drugs. I went to Narcotics Anonymous, which there was only two meetings in Weymouth a day. A week, I mean. And that's it. That's just like nothing changed apart from I stopped using drugs. Some things kind of changed, but my behaviours and thinkings were still the same. You know, I still hung around. You know, I didn't change people, places and playgrounds. I still hung around with using addicts. I got into a relationship with a using addict. I chased people down the roads with kitchen knives. Do you know what I mean? I got busted by CID, and you know, all this was by, you know, I was clean. And then lo and behold, you know, when I went to Crown Court, I got a custodial sentence, but I went into this prison clean with like a basic text, loads of literature, and so pure insane. You know, you know, when I look back on this experience, I'd stopped using drugs. I was insane. It's as insane as I was using. I didn't know what I was doing. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't have any of the life skills and coping skills and communication skills and self-esteem. And, you know, I had all this trauma I brought in from childhood and growing up and resentments and fear and confusion. And, you know, I'm walking around with loads of pamphlets and basic texts, almost evangelical in the jail, like I'd seen the light, and people just like this guy, you know, probably needs to be sectioned. But you know, again, lack of understanding about, I'm just checking the time, the lack of understanding about the ferocity of this disease, and no understanding about the disease and the obsession and compulsion and the dishonesty in my mind and how it tricks me and how subtle it is and how patient it is. You know, I managed to stay clean 3 weeks in jail, and then it just, you know, this disease just planned, you know, my next use up. And you know, this is how powerful this disease is. It lets you think that you're making the decisions. You know, I was powerless. Do you know what I mean? When I sent money out and blah, 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 it was gone. And I learned more than I probably had in the 5 years of all the kind of stuff about powerlessness in a jail. And it was horrible. It was horrible. I kind of used 3-4 days really hard, and then had 3 days of scrapings of drugs I didn't want to use, and you know, sat you know, because I had lots of health problems, I was a womble, so I could go all around the jail. And the guy I still know now, and I used to just take all his Lagrac when I couldn't get other drugs, and just sat on these benches dribbling, wrecked, paralyzed. Just like, it was an horrible drug. The thing is, I knew how insane it was taking this drug. It was a drug that I didn't like. It didn't give me any effect what I wanted, but I still took it. And it was horrible. It was a horrible drug. And security sort of, you know, like, if you don't move, Osmond, you're going to get nicked. And I can't move, mate. I can't speak and stuff like that. And, you know, this gets to me, the journey of getting out, and, you know, all good ideas. The same as when I've left other institutions, I have all these bright ideas of what I'm going to do, and basically get picked up by family and you know, go, can you take me to this NA member, blah, and it just go, I just take me to the, it was a dealer. And but you know, the message of hope and what I'd heard in Narcotics Anonymous and stuff, but you know, after probably about a 3 month relapse outside, you know, I kind of got the humility, kind of asked for help again, you know, tail between my legs. And you know, I come back to Narcotics Anonymous, and cutting a long story, I just detoxed myself at home. Do you know what I mean? I just got loads of strong benzos and just locked myself away for 20 days, didn't go out, because I'm the type of addict that goes to get a pint of milk and I'm scored. Do you know what I mean? It's just like my powerlessness is like I need to go right, but I just go left. Do you know what I mean? I just have no control on this stuff. And, you know, I've learned so much more of being clean, writing the steps, you know, kind of reflecting and reviewing on the steps I've written than just sat in groups talking a load of shit. Because, you know, as an addict, I can talk a lot of shit. Do you know what I mean? How do you know when an addict's lying? His lips move. Well, that's me. Do you know what I mean? When I'm using, and like even, you know, first couple of years of being clean, do you know what I mean? It's just the shit that comes out of my mouth. You know, I kind of learned over a period of time, you know, when I'd lie, I'd say, hang on a minute, I'm lying. You know, and when you're doing this around normal people, they just think you're mad. But, you know, thank the grace of my higher power that, you know, I found Narcotics Anonymous here, you know, I hadn't died, you know, I had no convictions around me, you know, I had to kind of finish this license, but, you know, I'd done as many meetings as I possibly could in this town, and I kind of resisted other fellowships. You know, Narcotics Anonymous was really small here. You know, most people that got sponsors were in another fellowship because there was no, you know, there was about 2-3 years. That was like the longest clean time. They were all sponsored from the other fellowship. And I was quite militant, you know, I'd done sort of other fellowships, but I didn't drink very much apart from like sort of childhood and teens. You know, I don't like alcohol, I don't like the taste, so... You know, when I come to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I can really identify. And when I've gone to, but I can't identify to it. Do you know what I mean? Only feelings and stuff. And I just kept coming back, you know. And it's really tough because, like, the growth and the what we've got, what we talked at the beginning of the meeting, what we have in Narcotics Anonymous, which is, you know, so developed and it's so grown, and there's so much support and there's helplines and stuff. I had nothing, you know, and I was going to these meetings in the early days, and, you know, I was still in withdrawals for about, you know, 2 months, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, I went to these meetings, and I even got my friend's dad to take me to these meetings because I was too scared to sort of go out on my own, because, you know, I just go and use. And at some point, you know, some month, some time, you know, I just remember sort of having a roll up, having a coffee, and just thought, God, I haven't thought about using. And, you know, such an amazing feeling of freedom when you just think my whole life has been consumed by an obsession and compulsion. You know, I've just been consumed. You know, this obsession has just been persistent. It just takes over my life. And the compulsion is just, I get in this hamster wheel and I can't get off it. And to wake up and just have this revelation that, wow, do you know what I mean? I haven't thought about drugs for some time. Was just, you know, I've shared about it a lot. And, you know, lots of, you know, shares I've done in places, I've always shared this because, you know, the obsession had been removed. You know, and that is the one promise, you know, the freedom from active addiction. It's just like, I just remember just thinking, wow. Because I'd never thought it was possible. I can feel my eyes watering. I just never thought, you know, not only getting clean, that I could stay clean. And that was the message of hope that I'd heard at Narcotics Anonymous. You know, if I can do it, you can do it. And if we can do it, you can do it. And it's just like, and, you know, as my lovely Jay and Air, you know, he shared it and I've stole it, but that's what we do. Do you know what I mean? As long as you don't use, you'll always have hope. And it's just such an amazing cliche. No matter how hard your life is, what your struggles are, first one does the fucking damage. You know, my experience tells me, you know, put one in me, do you know, that chemical ballot in it, it's off. Do you know what I mean? The beast is out. You know, the beast is locked away in lock and key, but put one inside me, mate. That silverback is out, off and running, and he's dragging me. Do you know what I mean? Isn't you know, my truth is, like, I do not drag it. Mate, you know, I'm in the passenger seat. You know, I'm no longer driving no more. It's just like, you know, my truth around my step one is, you know, it's just, yeah, it is abstinence, pure abstinence for me. And And so my life started to change, and I've thought a lot lately. Do you know what I mean? I've come in really damaged, a lot of scars, a lot of trauma, and just because I come to Narcotics Anonymous, my life wasn't all wonderful. I had sort of like 20, 25 years of shit to bring in, all this guilt and shame, all these regrets. Do you know what I mean? All these harms I've caused, but which was kind of ironed out through step works. It probably took me going through the steps probably 2 to 3 times to sort of iron out and be able to really kind of just look at the world in the eye and people in the eye and not shudder and, be triggered by things. It was just, you know what I mean? It took sort of 3 to 4 to 5 years to feel all right in my skin, and not live in the past. This program taught me about living in the day and accepting things and surrendering, and it is what it is. It's just like I can't change that stuff. The importance is what I do here and now, and my life started to change, and I listened to suggestions. I ended up getting a sponsor. I heard people getting educated, and that was one thing that I wasn't educated, and I went and got educated, and I end up in a relationship, and then we end up having children, and then it opened up a pathway to getting employed, which again I was unemployable. The only thing I never done for all this time, really, apart from a couple of times, is work. Do you know what I mean? I thought I was my own boss for all this stuff. So, the hope and faith and courage from our members is like, shit, man, he's working. I used to ask, I used to annoy people by asking them, what's it like to work? What, you really get up at like 7 o'clock in the morning? It's like, all this stuff was like, wow, man. It was like being on acid but clean. Most of my first couple of years was, it was, I was just like being on acid. So, I mean, I was just absolutely petrified. I was just scared. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to cross roads. I remember asking my first sponsor, I said, like, how do you sweat? I don't know how you sweat. I don't know about sweat, mate. I asked, you need to ask him lots of questions because I didn't know. Just because I got clean, it doesn't mean I know everything. I knew nothing. I used to cross roads and be scared because I didn't really know how to cross roads, and I didn't really know about fear. And I spent the first couple of years just in fear all the time, just scared because I was so scared of using. My first commitment, I think they called it, I called it a refreshments manager. Do you know what I mean? They just, when I got clean, people just nominated you. You didn't have much choice, really, because I was just scared. I couldn't say no, and they just, they would nominate you second, third, fourth, that. Tell them a bit about yourself. You got a commitment. It was a lot easier getting commitments then because you didn't have to do nothing. People could have resentments with you and nominate you. And so I had quite a few commitments. I was a secretary of a meeting when I was about 2.5 months clean, and just absolutely petrified. Do you know what I mean? I was just absolutely scared to talk in front of people, and I just didn't know anything about self-obsession. Do you know what I mean? I'd just be sat obsessing about myself, like how I'm talking, how I'm looking at people. I can't look at them, they're looking at me, and just this constant oh. But so much of that has changed. I don't know how long I've got left. I'm not surprised I've shared this long. I've probably got about 5 minutes, I think.
Go ahead, Adrian. Good man.
Right, thank you. But I mean, I thought a lot, like, service has put me in good stead. I mean, it's just like, what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous, I've took it to the bridge of normal living. I didn't go to college just because, like, I'm a good pupil, or I'm intelligent. When I come to NA, I was thick as shit. I knew how to sell drugs, make money, take drugs, and get myself out of kind of tight situations. But like, I didn't know how to walk into an office, ask somebody for an application form. I certainly couldn't fill out an application form. And some of my behaviours at college were like off key. I'd jump up in the middle of a classroom and start shouting at the female teacher, saying, "I'd never let a woman speak to me." Like, I was like limping on one leg. Shouting at the teacher, just because I come to Narcotics Anonymous, it's not that everything's perfect. You know, it's just like I had to start again. I had to start living. You know, I had to start kind of writing these steps and learning about all this kind of stuff. You know, all the stuff I brought in here, all the stuff, all the fear of the future, and just kind of this just confusion and this fear. And, you know, and just, I can't do this. I just fucking can't do this shit. But getting through it a day at a time. Do you know what I mean? Whether it was a minute, whether it was an hour, just getting through it. Getting my head on the pillow, thanking the higher power. Jesus, I've just got through that. I can't, you know, and starting all again. You know, and meetings always been regular. I mean, there's a guy locally. He'd come to meetings for 6 months and have 6 months off, you know, and I've observed and I've looked at people for years, and they've been my greatest teachers. This guy would come back and he would share for like 20, 25, and it's just like all this resentment and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, I just think I can make, you know, I'm just going to do regular meetings, do you know what I mean? And have a sponsor and, you know, kind of, you know, write about this stuff. Do you know what I mean? The answer stuff was writing about, because I had all this kind of stuff about writing. Do you know what I mean? Perception and delusion about kind of, you know, my academia and stuff, and the steps as an academic, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I don't get it right, he's going to tell me I'm thick and stupid, all this past stuff. But, you know, let and behold, I've not long finished. I think the 10th time I've been through the steps. I think I've been through the green and gold probably about 6 times, maybe 7. And, you know, I'm back going through the traditions again. It's, you know, it's not an academic. You know, I actually really enjoy doing the step work. I find it really, I don't know if I can say the word, invigorating. Do you know what I mean? It's really, when this literature talks about layers of the onion, mate, I've learnt so much. Do you know what I mean? And I've changed so much. And then, you know, I forget about kind of, you know, the step six stuff and the stuff I've had from my 4 and 5, and I start acting like an arsehole again and stuff. So it's like coming to sort of full circle of the kind of share. You know, I've spent the last 5 years learning about the principles of this program. It's the core bit for me, really. You know, I can say that I've worked the steps this amount of times, and I've had X amount of service commitments like everywhere, and I've sponsored, you know, X, Y, and B. But what I've learned about is the spiritual principles, and I've learned about kind of practicing this all the bloody time. You know, it's been exhausting. I've been writing inventory for every day I wake up. I've generally write inventory. Connect with people, and I've been doing an online meeting for 5 years. I mean, you know, the discipline that I've had for all this kind of illness and ill health stuff, it's like, you know, people start taking the piss out of me. Do you know what I mean? Have you done your inventory yet, mate? I've been on holidays abroad, and, you know, I get up, get a coffee, and I write inventory. And it's the best thing for me. You know, inventory, take me inventory, you know, stop checking through the day. You know, seeing what I'm in, because that's what I do in the morning, see what I'm in, you know, what defects, you know, not feeling grateful, selfish, self-centered, dishonest, do you know what I mean? Arrogant, sloth, gluttony, all these kind of things. And then I think, all right, well, this is what I need to do. Do you know what I mean? I need to get out of self, contact some people, have a share, get to a meeting. And it's worked for me. You know, my experience so far has worked for me. I see lots of other people, you know, that I probably would judge and criticise. You know, at the end of the day, it's none of my fucking business. The last sort of, I've learned through the steps and definitely resentments and stuff like that. You know, nobody else's recovery is any of my fucking business, but unless it's sponsees, and it's still not my responsibility. Do you know what I mean? I just tend to my boundaries and my recovery, take care of my spiritual condition and stuff, take stock on my own inventory, make amends where needed, and this addict just stays grateful. I don't know how the fucking hell I stay grateful, because my life's been fucking hell for 5 years. Do you know what I mean? I've lost faith so many times. You know, is this what my life's come to? Do you know what I mean? I'm in an hospital bed. Is this, I'm just going to die here. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, this, you know, constant just fear of, you know, this is it, you know, and I've stayed clean. You know, my story is I've stayed clean. I've worked with the perseverance of this program, you know, and that is the beauty of these meetings that, you know, I remember being at NAO, I'm asking JJ, I'm just going to go in to the operating theatre, can I share blood? And he's like, yeah, sure, Eddie, you can share, man. You know, the love and the care, what I found in Narcotics Anonymous and the members that, you know, I love dearly is just, yeah, pretty damn amazing. So, I you know, I celebrated a huge milestone in the summer. About 13 people know my clean time, 13, 40. I don't sing off the rooftops. You know, many people do, which is great. I join in their celebrations, but I really try to practice your humility and being humble around this stuff and being modest and having the grace around what Narcotics Anonymous has given me, which is a daily reprieve, and, you know, which is turned from days into weeks, into months, into years, into decades, which is pretty crazy stuff. So with that, I think I've shared for 45 minutes. I think I've just warmed up. I could probably go on to about 2 a.m. Sharing has always benefited me in the spirit of good
work.
Let
it roll.
Thanks, Shay. I mean, I love the spirit of goodwill. You know, I've practiced this principle of our symbol because I love it, and it's always in the spirit of doing stuff with nothing in return and doing stuff with nobody knowing, and I love it, and it's a principle that I love. So I benefit off this stuff, you know, even if not anybody in this room benefits. Do you know what I mean? This is what I've been given, so I give it freely. And you know, I love the spirit of goodwill. If I could have a flag, I would have a flag of goodwill. You know, it's a great principle. I love it. I love just kind of helping people and just doing stuff. Do you know what I mean? Just, you know, I know what I'm doing, but they don't know what I'm doing. And just, you know... And sometimes I've had to share examples with sponsees and said, that's no longer in the spirit, mate. It's no longer selfless stuff, my brother, because I've shared this example. And, yeah. But, yeah, I think I've had enough. I just start going into, like, you know, into kind of, you know, maybe more defected stuff. You know, it's good to hear from other people. I do loads of these meetings and I listen. I can do like four a day and not share. You know what I mean? I do more meetings than that a day, but I do probably about 30 meetings that I'll just listen to a week. You know what I mean? I'll probably only share in about two or three meetings a week. I really like just to share, and, you know, it really helps me get sane, especially the morning ones. I just like to listen just to people's voices and thank God I'm in the right place. So with that, I love you all. I'll leave it there. Thanks, Steve, for asking me.